Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club where people hate reading. This week is Grab Bag, so James picked the movie Malice in Wonderland, along with Season 1, Episode 1 of The Young Pope. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. Here's the description of Malice in Wonderland, 2009, a modern take on the classic fairy tale Alice in Wonderland, set in the northeast of England.
I want you to jump in on this one. I want to see.
This movie? Oh, no wonder it felt so short. It's an hour and 27 minutes. It's perfect. It's a great modern representation. It's kind of like you're on something the whole time. God, by the way, doing drugs and seeing this movie would give you a heart attack.
Do you have a rating on it that you're going to put?
I want to watch it one more time because I definitely missed stuff on this. I give it a 3.5. It's a great take, but it just throws a lot of stuff out. And the other thing that was kind of distracting for me is I was trying to figure out who everybody was.
I always thought that was pretty obvious.
Some of them are. I mean, but also I'm looking at, I'm seeing, okay, this is Tweedledee and Tweedledum. How does it compare, say, to Disney's? Okay, you know, so I was just a little bit more analyzing, like the Cheshire Cat was kind of random. That dude in the car.
Don't let sausage stuffers, fudge packers.
Yeah, so contrasting to, like, the Disney one is the one I was thinking about the whole time I was watching it. No, but this is 3.5. It's short. I was not expecting this movie to be as short as it was.
Did your wife watch
it? No, she didn't see it. She doesn't watch your picks anymore.
I was actually curious if she would even watch this one.
I literally said it's James' pick. She's like, nope.
All right. Brian, you've seen this one before, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, then I'm just going to jump in on it. This one's an even 3 for me. I love the adaptation. I think it's really well done for what it is. But I think it seems like most of the movie is distorted. And I think that's the way they wanted to go about it, which I think they nailed. But I enjoy it. The only thing that always kind of irks me is the Alice's relationship to her father and the mom and stuff like that. I always thought that was just a weird thing to throw in.
The thing I really hated about this was how fast everything was. Like Alice in Wonderland, like the cartoon, the Disney one that I compared it to, has slow moments. And even the slow moments in this movie was like boom, 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 boom. And that kind of bugged me. It seemed like a lot of fast camera stuff I noticed that generally has a tendency to drive me nuts. And yet it didn't on X Unknown last week for some reason. But how fast this was kind of bugged me. Because I wanted to sit in, you know, I like the Cheshire Cat scene. That's a fairly long scene than the Disney one. Yeah. I was expecting, okay, it's going to sit. It's going to let you kind of stir in the juices of the one of the major characters. And just, it was almost a throwaway scene.
Yeah. Ryan?
Okay. Well, the Cheshire Cat was sort of a relatively throwaway character.
Yeah, definitely.
But
it didn't have to be a large part. I felt the characters were obviously pretty obvious. What did you give it, John? A 3?
I gave it 3.5 because as an adaptation goes, I thought it was pretty good because I've seen a lot of the ones over the years and this was probably one of the ones I liked the most considering there's been a bunch of live action versions of it.
Yeah.
Because you used the word perfect before you said 3.5, and I was about to take my own life.
Oh. really? Perfect, perfect, perfect?
Okay. Not only far from perfect, but just, it's not a good movie, okay? I'm gonna just say that up front. It's an interesting movie. I think I know what James is saying as far as, like, it
distorted?
The shot composition, distorted. There you go. That was the word. The shot composition itself, I really liked. But after a while, it started to kind of grate on me as an audience member.
Well, because,
you know, I started to get kind of sick of it. It looks remarkably more sort of beautiful than your average British film.
So,
you know, but then at the same time, it starts to kind of get in love with itself in that regard and keeps going on and on. And it just started to make me feel like on drugs, but not in a good way.
So what did you compare? Have you seen any of the other live action versions of Alice in Wonderland?
Are you talking about Tim Burton? Or?
Well, because there's a bunch there. I mean, because there's a
Looking Glass.
Yeah, there's live action ones that were made for TV movies. There's live action ones that done. So just wondering if you've seen them.
Through the Looking Glass is an entirely separate deal. More of a sequel, if I remember right.
Because the reason, just wondering what you thought.
The adaptations. I mean, the original. I would absolutely rather watch the Disney version.
Even
though they obviously cut out a bunch of things from the Lewis Carroll book itself.
You would have to. I still love that movie. See, because that's why I gave it such a high rating, is because I actually liked, this was fairly impressive. This was a modern take in it. Because usually, you know, you're going to Wonderland.
Okay, hold on a second, though. The modern take of things is kind of a cop-out. Now, the main problem with this movie was the script.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the actual screenplay was dog shit. Really clunky dialogue, like just things that just did not really move the story properly. But the look of it, the feel of it, like I said in the beginning, was really something else. But I completely forget where I was going with this.
Let me I guess it's
down the rabbit hole.
Jeez.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's
what I was gonna say is that hold on. That adaptations like this are kind of a cop out because the actual storyboard itself is completely laid out for you. Now all you have to do is draw scary faces on the creatures that you saw in Disney, and there you go.
I would say for a modern day adaptation, I thought it did
pretty good.
Yeah,
but that's still kind of the same thing. The nuts and bolts of the story are still there. It didn't require anything but kind of just putting this personality on it, this kind of like punk rock feel to it.
And then why is it so hard to do it?
More like punk rock slash steampunk.
That it's so hard to do right, because most movies, especially if you're going to do something like this, is pretty much laid out for you. But they're all...
If you're going to do the quote gritty version of whatever, it's gonna work just fine if you're not a complete idiot. Like I said, the script sucked, and it was still kind of a cool movie.
See, I didn't even think this... I knew it was trying to go for gritty. It just seemed... It really seemed like it was trying to be a stoner druggy movie by the way it's shot, and it just
that was all of our interpretations when we were 16 and smoked pot for the first time was, oh, Alice in Wonderland's all about drugs. Look at the caterpillar smoking a hookah. It's not a big leap to put drugs in.
No, I meant
LSD. You know?
I would say not. I think the way it was shot, it was meant to feel that way, not the fact that obviously.
Well, that's what I meant. That's what I meant by the composition was really interesting. The way they were trying to shoot it was really cool, but they added so much stuff to disorient you throughout it that it just got sick of it.
And I didn't care for Alice at all. I mean, there was the biggest thing for me is I didn't really care about any of the characters. I was watching to see how exactly they interacted. You know, how did they compare to the Disney one, which is the one I was comparing it to.
Well, I'm more disturbed by her parents' parenting. I mean, what parent would ever let their kid just randomly take drugs from strangers and just, I'll give it a go. What the hell? I mean, she was popping drugs like she was, you know, a complete addict beforehand.
Now, I was really hoping this was going to be closer to American McGee's Alice,
Are they still making that one?
As far as I know, no.
Okay.
If you ever seen it, look up the video game, not the sequel, the original one. It's really well done. It's a very twisted tale,
Are you talking about the Alice Madness one?
Yeah, American McGee's Alice.
Okay.
That's what I was hoping this was.
That is a great adaptation. And that was a fucking video game. And a cheap-ass video game. Well, expensive at the time. But nowhere near the kind of capabilities that we have for, Fallout or Grand Theft Auto or something. Okay?
Yeah. And
game was amazing. The spin they put on that with her in the mental asylum... Seriously, go look that up if you haven't seen it. People.
That's originally what I was hoping it was going to be. I was excited when James said it, and I read it. It's like, okay, it still has the opportunity to be it. And so, you know, it took me, you know, at least 20 minutes to get away from the fact that it wasn't what I wanted to watch. Okay. By the way, the soundtrack. What's that?
What about the soundtrack?
The soundtrack to American McGee's Alice is amazing. If you haven't, it's got to be on YouTube. Look it up. It's a creepy fucking soundtrack.
No doubt.
So Ryan, you never gave us an actual rating.
Oh, I mean, I really can't go higher than a 2. It had a couple of good moments, and the lead actor guy playing Whitey was awesome.
Yeah,
but he was the only part that was.
Danny Dyer
was
actually a really good actor, folks.
I'll give you that. There was nobody in here I was really impressed with. The Cheshire Cat character, who was always kind of one of my favorites. Because he is a throwaway character, but he's always been, to me, I always thought he was an important character.
When she puts on the radio thing and she kind of gets in conversation with him type thing, that's an interesting bit,
What the fuck is up the queen?
Oh.
That whole part, I literally just was watching it going, this what? It was, that whole scene made no damn sense.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the one thing that I got to say is they have a great line in this film. I actually posted it as my status after watching this one just because I forgot about it. But insanity is not a plea. It's a way of life. I just love that line.
And it's the best one in the movie.
But I want to throw this out with this film is, like Ryan said, the dialogue sucks, except for a few of the things between Danny and Maggie, or Alice. I mean, Whitey and Alice. That was okay, but I mean, all in all, it's like, as far as I'm concerned, other than Whitey, I really didn't care about any other
character. So what's your final rating?
Yeah, I stick with a 3 because I think as far as there is some watchability in this one with people who haven't seen it before, just to kind of really throw them for a trip with it, more so than other movies I would give it 2. But yeah, so I mean, there are parts of it that's enjoyable, but for the most part, I just like to say this one thing about it. It's a distorted film. The interactions, the dialogue, and I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the characters are pretty easy to spot as to who they're supposed to be in the corresponding book. But,
and yeah.
Yeah. But
to me,
really,
that kind of seems like the fun of the movie to me is sort of like, oh, okay, I get to pick out what characters are what.
Yeah.
And that's about it. It's not a good movie if you're a real big fan of Lewis Carroll's work. I mean, it's an interesting adaptation. It's right up there with Freeway. I don't know if you guys remember that movie with what was her name? What was it? Not Renee Zellweger. No.
Damn it, I can't
remember.
So what rating did you give it?
And Kiefer Sutherland. It was a modern day retelling of Little Red Riding Hood.
Hmm.
Yeah. Kind of the same thing. They really tried to go the Thank same God. Direction. Reese Witherspoon. There you go.
So what? Bugging me. What's your final rating, Ryan?
I can't. I really can't go higher than a 2, and that's a real specific crowd.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm gonna have to change mine. I'm gonna go with Ryan.
Wow, you got a whole point and a half off of him, Ryan.
Because I was originally, you know, I did kind of like the movie, but. It's not good enough to get any higher. And the fact it's not American McGee's Alice is also... It's not like it, I should say. It's not... This wasn't gritty. This is basically...
Well, look, it's very simple. That's a good adaptation. This was not so good of an adaptation.
Yeah. I didn't look at it as a good adaptation at all of this film. It's just, I just think it's like what we said as far as the picking out the characters
so
and who's.
Now we're going to go to season 1, episode 1 of The Young Pope. So, James, batter up.
So, I haven't seen Jude Law do anything in a few years, but he's the starring for this HBO show. I'm gonna make sure. Yes, it is on HBO. This one, it's the first American Pope to take over,
like from the continental United States.
No, not that we have a Pope here, but yeah, a Pope out in the Vatican from the States.
Okay.
So he's born a non-Italian Pope.
Yeah, non-Italian Pope. So it's kind of like that big thing deal type thing, but
I guess they did have the German though, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they did bring up the German
and the new guys from South America.
Yeah, they do bring up the German this way. But I think it's an interesting thing because his belief in most of this is, I don't care about the people, I care about your relationship with God and how you seek that out. So it was an interesting thing. He's a hard ass and very strict. Follow my rules or you're gone type guy. So it's a very interesting thing. And I think Jude Law does a fantastic job in this one. And I really am not that big of a fan of Jude Law, but
I'm glad to see he's in something. He's definitely seemed to drop out of the limelight.
Yeah, this one isn't action-packed. There's no, like, gore, or I haven't encountered any, you know, explicit of sex scenes. So that's a big difference from what HBO usually puts out, which they put out quite Game a bit of violent TV shows mixed with very promiscuous characters. And this one's not quite like that. So
it'll be interesting to see.
I'm digging it.
It'll be interesting to see what happens later on because it's going to get, I guarantee it's going to get more into the negative side of something like that. So I guarantee it's going to go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that he's also the youngest Pope at like 40 something and like a quite a, like a century, I think they said, but yeah, very young guy. And
are we going to get to see him go vigilante Pope and like start beating the shit out of pedophiles or something?
I
or
think they might actually get
the,
there.
What's he's the upshot here?
He's got an interesting violent tendency towards him, but I will see where it goes. He might like have a whipping room or some shit. I don't know, but it's worth a watch.
So, but not like Harvey Weinstein whipping room.
Oh no. That's a whole casting couch situation.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/realflixreviews. If you have a movie you'd love us to do, or even a piece of movie news you'd love our spin on, please let us know. You can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more.
He's practiced that.
A lot. Give me one second, as I wasn't ready. Any movie news you guys find that was... Because there hasn't been...
Didn't we discuss on the show that they were going to be putting out a new Invader Zim?
Yeah.
That is a falsity.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Johan Vasquez has actually come out and said, you know, I get this stuff every year. Sorry to let the fans down, but it's not, the Zim movie is not in the works, and the TV show is not going to happen. So I'm bummed. Get my hopes up, you stupid internet. Why don't you kill yourself off?
Oh, the new, was it Black Panther full-length trailer finally dropped, actually made me less interested in it than the teaser trailer did?
I was never a Black Panther fan, though. I mean, he was an interesting...
I'm a quasi-fan, but the trailer just...
I don't know enough about him to be a fan or not. I am looking forward to the movie, though. I like this character in...
The Avengers? Whatever.
Civil War?
Yeah, Civil War, yeah.
I think he came out in Civil War, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see it, but I'm not excited about it. But, of course, at this point, for me to be excited by a Marvel movie takes a lot if it's not Guardians of the Galaxies. Because, I'll be honest, those are the only ones I've seen lately. I haven't seen had a chance to see the new Spider-Man that even excites me.
Oh, the Homecoming?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance.
It's actually pretty good. I watched it the other day.
X-Files Season 11 launches its first teaser trailer. You guys excited about, you know, X-Files continuing? Are you meh?
No, I actually watched the first little bit of it. And no, I mean, I like the X-Files.
So is it past? Is it the X-Files? It's period in time has come and gone.
I think it has.
Now,
we had a lot of TV shows like that. We had The Outer Limits. We had X-Files. We had.
But The Outer Limits had the 60s. It was in originally a 60s.
Yeah, it was.
And then rebooted in the 90s. And I thought it did really good. I think the biggest problem is I think culture has changed so much that. I think we're going to have to wait a little while longer before it comes back because I don't think you could surprise anybody with it
before. So in this one.
What do you think, Ryan?
I think it's really cool that they were able to actually bring that show back. I never really watched it originally in the first place. I think my folks did. I was a little bit too young to get interested in it. But the organic nature in which it came back, I literally all started from the Nerdist podcast. I think originally Chris Hardwick had Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, well, Gillian Anderson.
Gillian Anderson, thank you. Had her on. And then, you know, just kind of like, hey, we're a bunch of nerds. We'd love to see X-Files. She's like, I'd do it. He's like, seriously? She's like, yeah, of course I'd do that show again. So he's like, we got to talk to David Duchovny and get this thing cracking. And they did. They actually just went and rallied for the show to be brought back.
Yeah. It was actually interesting to see how many fans like jumped on board with it. I mean, there was quite a few. It had quite a big following when it was out.
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of it when it originally was on. I loved the first movie. Second movie was to me. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of time for TV at this point. Like, I watch stuff for the show, and when I have a free chance, I watch something. But X-Files just is not in my wheelhouse. Not something I'm going to invest in for me.
Yeah.
Any of you guys care about the new Bill and Ted movie? Keanu Reeves apparently is talking about updates on Bill and Ted 3.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I mean, as long as it's not like
the
bogus adventure.
Apparently what's supposed to be happening, it's supposed to take place in modern times. So they're 30-something. And so what's going to happen is it's supposed to talk about why they're not changing the world and, stuff like that.
Hang on a second. We gotta back. So did James disparage the fucking good name of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
No, we disparaged. We did. I hate that one. Except for the ending.
How fucking dare the pair of you? The ending, my ass. That whole movie was awesome.
I think you need to go look up the definition of that word.
I stopped at tentacle porn.
No, you didn't. You watched that movie.
I did. There were parts of the movie I liked, but in general, I preferred the first one.
Yeah, I liked the first one more than the second one.
I understood what they were doing. I didn't like the afterlife scenes. None of it really did a whole lot for me. I didn't like the scenes from hell
when they're playing chess.
That part was funny. I liked in heaven when they mugged people to get into it. But overall, I just wasn't really the one I liked.
So, I just went through a bunch of news. It's just been flooded with Harvey Weinstein being a rapist. So it's kind of hard to find something that's actually legit. The Han Solo movie is officially in the go. Yeah, I guess I'll check it out, but all I see right now is Disney getting this new company that they can just rape.
Here's a question, though.
A young Yoda film.
Is it really raping it, or is it the fact that they're doing what everybody wanted to, because George Lucas was so bent on spending years changing the original, then they made the third ones. So I'm thinking it's not necessarily raping. They're just making what people want, and because they're going to be releasing one every year for the next decade, people are getting tired, are getting a little wary of it. See, I think it's they're doing what people finally want.
I think they are doing that too, but
it's just too fast.
Yeah, that's my issue. Take your time. Take that.
I don't fault Disney. I would do the same thing. And I don't even think this is, a money grab. I think this is them realizing that there's a need, and the fans want it. So why not make it?
Yeah, I still think they need to do an Old Republic where the Sith was actually a prominent thing, and they had the academies, they had the planet, they had everything.
I guarantee that's going to happen.
I think they definitely will do that eventually.
Versus the eugenics wars in Star Trek.
I mean, I hope it goes on before North Korea has a hissy fit, because
it'll happen.
That Hollywood drop it and do that. Don't do a Han Solo film.
I did want to talk a little bit about what's happening with Harvey Weinstein.
Now.
Since everybody else is doing it, I figured, why not?
Nine.
There's a good chance.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yes, I did it on purpose. The dude doesn't deserve me saying his name right. So there's a couple of things I've heard. They actually might try to liquidate the company.
Liquidate Miramax or the Weinstein company?
The Weinstein company.
Oh wait, no, he doesn't have Miramax anymore.
No. So they were saying that there's a good chance they might just liquidate the entire Weinstein company. I don't know. I'm for and against it, because there's got to be amazing talent. But if at this point, I say change the name.
No, they're gonna liquidate it. They're gonna basically kind of sell it off piece by piece. The individual entities are gonna get absorbed by big studios, most likely.
You see, here's the thing: is like, I like the movies, but I hate the guy. So I'm kind of like yay and nay at the same time.
Well, the movies are fine. Him being a complete deplorable piece of shit is not going to stop me from watching Good Will Hunting.
Oh no, yeah, that's why like I like the studio. That's why keep the studio around. Just remove that guy from everything. He basically was it the Academy Arts or the motion something the movies and science thing actually removed him. He's basically being blacklisted by Hollywood. Now the interesting,
I think that was the Academy of Film and Television that basically blackballed him.
And
so the Academy.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with, because there's been rumors for years about, you know, people doing this to children, and there's been a number of actors who have actually come out, which I and said he's done it. And there was a I don't remember his name. He's an African-American gentleman. Everybody knows him. He said he
Spike
was
Spike Jones.
Was that it? I don't know. I don't remember his name. He just said he was touched by directors and producers inappropriately. I'm really curious to see what happens to Hollywood, because this has happened. There's stories of Judy Garland, inappropriate stuff happening to her. So it's something that's happened traditionally through Hollywood. Well, so I want to see what the changes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. It's like, this is not a new issue. It's just one that, you know, was
but is it the
pushed
right
out of the limelight just because of the money they had.
Is this the right time for actual change in Hollywood? Like, not fake change. Like, you know, fake change in Hollywood is, oh, women are starting to complain. Let's make a woman a hero in a movie.
I think that
What change are you expecting?
Just change in general, because I've over the last week and a half, I've heard a lot of stories of.
I'm sorry. Rape is bad.
Well, I don't know. Just changes.
Sure, we're already there.
Well, like, I'm curious to see if it'll change Hollywood or not.
No.
Like, will it change the way they do things? That's what I'm curious. Like, change enough.
Change
that,
what?
See, that's. Well, change enough that it actually changed the way they do things. Like say.
I mean, you speak of they like they're like all meeting in a room together.
Well, Hollywood in general,
Hollywood is not a conglomerate of
screw you, Zog.
It's a thousand different companies.
Well, yes, but I'm saying they is in Hollywood in general. The movie picture.
I don't see. Are you asking for a policy?
Okay.
No, I'm just wondering if it'll change it. I'm curious to see if it'll change it. Will it be the same?
And I'm just wondering if you're blaming Harvey Weinstein's raping on the industry.
No, Bill Cosby.
What? Just don't drink the juice. No, what I'm saying is,
say no to Jell-O.
Is it gonna? Did this basically? It's the tipping point. This has happened so much that basically this is the first string of things.
You know,
so I'm curious if because
sexual harassment in Hollywood is definitely not new, and it's not the first time this has been talked about.
Oh no, I'm just curious if this is going to be the first time.
Obviously, this is the same industry with Bill Cosby in it. So, yeah, I mean, I think people who are rapists amongst the industry, you know, are realizing like, okay, well, obviously I can't use my position of power to hold it over women. I guess the only point I'm trying to make is it's not like a company that's doing this. It's individuals who are alone in a room with a woman saying, hey, if you want fame and fortune, this is the price.
Well, yeah, that's what
I'm... You know, you can't get away with that shit anymore.
Well, Six, I'm wondering if you know, Hollywood, like, you know, emphasizing to stop that, will it change it somehow? I mean, I don't think it will, but I'm curious if it, like, 5 years from now, will there be a noticeable change in the films themselves? Because you don't, you know, you won't necessarily see the change right away up front when you're watching a theater, but will you see it, like, 5 years from now in what you see? I'm just curious. Maybe not. It might not. It might. It may be.
I don't know. I guess it might just have to be a wait and see and
movies.
Because I'm kind of in the boat of Ryan right now. Like, what are you expecting to happen? That's what I'm curious
about.
I'm not expecting anything. I'm just wondering if something will change. Will it?
I expect nothing to change.
Well, because
I expect rapists to go to jail like I always have, and I expect Hollywood to make movies like they always have.
Well, because this could be, and we're running late. This could be like the NFL. Like the NFL ratings, for example, have tanked so much that the NFL is actually starting to get worried from everything I've read about ratings tanking. Could this be the tipping point
That's for people who get like career offended. you know, like those are the people who want to boycott the NFL because some shit that happened before the game.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is this going to be the tipping point for Hollywood to start affecting Hollywood? I don't think it will.
Are you
saying
that ticket sales are going to go down? Is
it could in theory.
No, it couldn't.
It could. There could be people enough that I doubt it.
Oh, but yeah. People are just going to boycott movies because one asshole, you know, got caught for some terrible things.
But it's an industry thing that's been happening for the last 100+ years. That's what I'm saying. Is this a tipping point?
It's a thing. It's not an industry thing. Here's my point. It's not an industry thing.
Hold on,
it
ladies and gentlemen. We're
going
to have
thing.
To talk about this after the show. If you're really curious about our opinions more, please let us know. Go to facebook.com/realflixreviews if you want to continue this conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, next week is Ryan's pick.
Oh, Jesus. Remind me of that right now, huh?
Yep. We've been doing this show for 5 years.
We'll post it on the website.
Okay. So
I don't remember the order the shit goes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a wait and see. Do you have a TV series?
I do. We're going to be doing Lore, which is another HBO TV show that came out.
So what season and episode?
Season one, episode one.
Yeah. So next week is a we'll see. We're doing season one, episode of Lore. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.